Time now for KRWG's StoryCorps. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Today we meet Harvey Hilbert as he talks with Virginia Lora about his experiences in the Army during the Vietnam War.
Got a call that another company was surrounded by a battalion of enemy soldiers. And so we got on helicopters and went out to assist them. It was coming on dusk, and we went into what's called a hot landing zone, a hot LZ, and the means we were under fire as we were coming in on the helicopter gunships. We jumped off the helicopters and took a position as best we could. It was the rainy season, and there was like a foot and a half of water everywhere. There was nowhere to hide, no cover. Did the best we could, came behind trees or whatever. It was a pretty scary situation, a lot of gunfire going on. So there was a company of people, and there was about 100 guys. And we were a company of 100 guys going in. And we joined them and set up this perimeter. And then the enemy stopped shooting. So my company commander sends out a 3-person listening post, which is usually when that happens, they pick the 3 newest guys. By that time, I was not a new guy, but they picked these 3 new guys. And one of them was a young man that I had met. I won't say his name, but they picked him, and he and these 2 two guys went out, and they went about 100 meters or so out in front of the line, and they were supposed to act as an early warning system, meaning that when and if the enemy were to approach the perimeter, their job was to take a little flashlight that they had that had a red filter on it, and sneak back across the perimeter using the red filtered flashlight as a kind of password. Well, the problem was that the enemy hadn't gone anywhere. They were embedded in the jungle. And around midnight or so, they opened up, and it's like night turned into day. And this 3-person listening post that was stationed out there were sitting right in the middle of this battalion of enemy soldiers. They freaked out, of course. They dropped their flashlight, grabbed their rifles, and started running toward the perimeter, which happened to be toward me. Of course, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't see who was running. All I saw were soldiers with rifles and machine gun fire coming at me, and so I shot at them, and I ended up killing one. And it turned out it was this young man that I had met. And he fell about 10 or 15 feet from me and was screaming in pain. A few minutes later, I got shot in the head. And, you know, it did knock me out. I reached up and felt the hole in my head and felt the blood and everything. I cried for a medic also. And a medic came out, snuck. Those guys are great. Snuck out under fire. This is all under fire. I mean, we were taking in rocket-propelled grenades and all kinds of stuff, mortars and everything. And he put a compress bandage on my head. So I'm lying there in the mud with this hole in my head. And I could hardly move, and I was listening to this young man cry. So I spent the night trying to stay alive. I thought that if I fell asleep, I would die. So felt it was really important that I stay awake. So I was looking at the sky. I was listening to him cry, crying for his mother, all sorts of things like that. And a lot of things go through your mind, you know. Enemy soldiers were about to pierce our perimeter. I was worried about them overrunning us, bayoneting us to death. You know, all kinds of stuff like that.
And when you say us, who
us,
do you mean?
The company of soldiers that we were. We were outnumbered 5-1, and it was a pretty vicious firefight. They ended up stopping shooting around 5 or so in the morning. This young man died just before I was airlifted out at daylight. Now, during that evening, it's kind of like a wake-up call. I had been a seriously gung-ho soldier. I was on my second enlistment. I was going to make a life of the Army. This just really bothered me a lot. So I was looking at, during the evening, I was trying to stay alive, as I was saying. I kept making bargains with God. You know, if you just, keep me alive, I'll do good. I'll be a good boy and all that stuff. And I didn't hear anything. I mean, I did not feel anything. I didn't hear anything. I didn't sense anything. I was staring at the sky and listening to this young man scream. And it really made me mad. Mad that we were there, mad that this had happened. It was not fair. All kinds of stuff runs through your head when this kind of thing is happening. I wasn't thinking so much about myself, other than to stay alive, as much as I was thinking about what in the world was I doing? What was this about? The net result of the gunshot wound was I was paralyzed. I couldn't use my left arm and left leg. I was air-vac'd out to a field hospital, like a MASH unit, and they did brain surgery, basically. But I was too young to have a plate put in. They had to wait for a year. So I went back to a hospital in the United States and spent some time there trying to recover or recovering. I was able to learn to use my left leg somewhat again, not very well, but somewhat. And then they discharged me basically out on the street.
How old were you then?
19. No follow-up, no appointments with anybody, no mental health care, nothing, which is what they did at that time.
Harvey Hilbert and Virginia Lora, from a conversation recorded in Mesilla. You can hear this story and other local StoryCorps interviews online at krwg.org in the radio tab under StoryCorps. For KRWG, I'm Edmundo Resendez.